to Glow in the Dark.
Glow in the Dark. Glow in the Dark.
This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. The adventures of Alibi Jones continue, although Alibi Jones is not quite himself. No, really. His body has actually been possessed by the bioenergy of one of the ancient enemy who came forward through time. Mad Scientist Quintele. We'll be picking up the action in just a little bit here. Some of the aliens Alibi had been defending the Rodae have preserved Alibi's own bioenergies. So they've got him preserved and his body. And his friends are somehow hoping to maybe force the ancient enemy out of Alibi's body and let him take it back over. The Rodae's communication was once misinterpreted as the appearance of ghosts. The Rodae ship was thought of as a ghost ship. And as our last chapter ended, one of those ghosts began to appear on the bridge of Alibi's ship. And that's where we're going to be picking things up as we get into Chapter 35 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. Well, a little bit of book news. A is for April and Alibi Jones, my book sales continue throughout the month of April. You can get the brand new Alibi Jones book. That's Alibi Jones, The Adventures of Alibi Jones, 6 short stories, for just 99 cents for the ebook all month long. And I've just created a pretty cool package, a bundle that you can pick up at Drive-Thru Fiction or Drive-Thru Comics that combines all of the Alibi Jones books and comics under one bundle for just $6.99. Now, these are all PDF copies, so if you're into reading PDFs, this will be the way to go. It's got every single book, so it's Alibi Jones, the original novel, Alibi Jones and the Sunrise of Her, Alibi Jones and the Time War of the Devrizium, Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, and Alibi Jones, 6 short stories, as well as The Adventures of Alibi Jones, Issue 1 and 2 of the comic book, all put together in one big bundle at Drive-Thru. So you can go to either Drive-Thru Fiction or Drive-Thru Comics to get that, or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com and go to April Alibi, or just click on the top thing that says April is for Alibi, you know, A is for April and Alibi Jones, and that'll take you there. I've got a page set up with all the A is for April and Alibi Jones specials that are going on. I want to ask you once again, if you can, to please support me on Patreon. Help keep this podcast going. I can use your support. Just head to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, and you can pledge like $2 a month or $5 a month. And I've got some pledgers now, so it's great. We've got some support coming in, helping to keep the podcast going. My thanks. Thank you very much. Again, that's patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. That's all the book news. Let's get into Chapter 35 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
In the distant future, humanity entertains itself with countless hours of podcasts. But the podosphere is troubled. Corporate networks and true crime shows rule the iTunes rankings with an iron fist. The year is 2019. Our only hope, the Nostalgia Pilots.
Welcome to Nostalgia Pilots, a podcast that for 100 years has fought the evils of outer space. I'm your host, Hugh.
I'm Jared.
And I'm Jason.
And I'm Spence.
4 podcasters fight back by watching and discussing classic giant robot anime.
Hey, do we have any of those cancers left? You know, the underwater ones?
Yeah. Thanks. That's what we need in this episode is more.
Grab a couple Saturn rockets to it. It'll be
their first mission. Toonami mainstay, Mobile Suit Gundam Wing.
Oh my god, you're describing the Spice Girls.
See? You get it!
Suit up at NostalgiaPilots.com.
Now, here's Chapter 35 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. The phosphorescent green figure coalesced into a human-looking being in an EVA suit. The figure had no face in its faceplate. None the three crew members could see as it turned and looked at each of them. Mac? Emily asked.
No access anymore,
the figure said. It sounded sad, its voice thin and hard to hear. Is he gone? She asked.
Emily, I'm sorry, but this is not the time, Anita said. Who are you? Are you the blob out there?
No,
the figure said, as it seemed to fade for a moment, swam like a mirage, but then restabilized.
We are the Lesser Oneness. We have been protecting you and your ship.
You're what? Anita said.
The black alien coating on the outside of our cruiser?
Cat asked.
Yes,
the Lesser Oneness said.
We have tried to speak to your minds, but none of you can hear us. So we must appear like this. We do not have the ability to do this for long.
What is going on? Admiral Leonard demanded over the comm.
We have an ongoing communication happening, Admiral, Anita said. Hold tight. Cat, set up a visual stream so the Admiral and your brother can see what's going on here.
Done, Cat said. What the? Is that a ghost?
The Admiral asked.
Rodet communication from those surrounding our cruiser, Cat answered.
Quiet, Anita ordered. She turned to the ghost. Go on.
We tried speaking to your minds, but you did not hear us. So this now,
the figure said.
There has been great damage. The oneness is no more. But we are a lesser oneness, and so can begin the healing. We have tried to reach out to our Rodé brethren inside what you call the blob, but they are in chaos and not receptive. They hold both Alibi Jones' body and soul, yet do not know how to reconnect them.
Why don't you tell them how? Anita asked.
We would like to do that,
the figure said.
Alibi Jones taught us a great deal. We will need to physically reconnect to the other Rodé in order to make that happen. It is the only way to pass on information of this complexity.
The figure faded again, surging back into clarity for a single moment.
Please,
it said, and then vanished. Anita stood next to the pilot's seat. Cat was flying the ship from his place in the co-pilot's chair.
Cat, take us over next to the blob, she said.
Cat began to move the ship, flying up alongside the huge dreadnought. They passed the larger craft and headed for Kit's ship and the blob.
Hold it right there, Capituna,
the Admiral said, threatening her over the comm.
I don't think so, she said. You have no jurisdiction here, as the Darkor said. Keep going, Cat.
Don't make me fire on your cruiser, Capituna,
the Admiral threatened.
Why would you do that? She asked.
You're getting in our way, he said. We need to either retrieve or destroy that blob thing. Can't have you messing with it.
Admiral Leonard, Kit interjected. The Darkor are watching. I have already registered a complaint with the Solar Alliance for your earlier aggression through my embassy. As a result, I am currently sending a feed of this entire event back via SecureCom. I thought you should know this.
Cat maneuvered the cruiser in next to Kit's smaller ship and the blob. Kit called over on a secure channel.
Here is a feed of what I'm seeing, Kit said. The substance on your ship appears to be extending forth some sort of pseudopod or tentacle.
They watched the external view of their cruiser from Kit's ship. An ebony arm glistened as it stretched forth from the cruiser, reaching out to the blob.
We have seen that before, Kat said.
What have you seen before? Admiral Leonard demanded.
Cat forgot the bridge feed from the cruiser was being sent out to the safe ships.
Aw, hell, Leonard said. I hope you know what you're doing, Capituna.
I'm making educated guesses, she said, and trying to save Alibi.
Watch out, That blob is moving, the Admiral warned. The glowing green EVA-suited figure reappeared on the bridge of the cruiser. It seemed to glow a little brighter than it had earlier.
We are moving Alibi Jones's body to the airlock, the figure said. He is unconscious.
Is he truly Alibi Jones? Kit asked. I spoke with him earlier. It was not Alibi.
One of the ancient enemy possessed it, the figure said. But we have been able to restore Alibi to his flesh transport. It rendered the current occupant unconscious, but it did not wake up Alibi Jones.
That didn't take long, Anita said.
We are the lesser oneness, the figure said. Now, the entire oneness. There is no greater. We are much diminished.
The figure faded, then resurged.
However, we still possess some of ourselves. Having soared among the stars with Alibi Jones, we identified him among our brethren immediately, and we placed his spirit back where he belonged. Now, we want to bring him to you. Perhaps you can wake him.
What about the ancient enemy? Kit asked.
Still resident in the body and mind of Alibi's flesh transport as well. Perhaps you can try not to wake him,
the figure suggested.
Which airlock? Anita asked.
Front. Starboard,
the figure said.
Emily, could you go? Anita asked.
Sure, Emily said. She stood up to go. Anita continued.
Stop by the sick bay and grab a stretcher, with straps, Anita said, and watch him very carefully.
Where should I bring him? Sick bay?
Yes, I think that...
Bring him to the cargo hold, Kat said, interrupting. I have an idea.
Anita looked over at Kat. He nodded at her, but didn't explain.
Do it, Anita said, looking back to Emily. Emily took off out of the bridge and down the corridor.
Can you fly this ship?
Kat asked Anita.
No, she said. Sorry.
I will have to ask my brother then,
Kat said.
Kit, would you come on board and help us bring back Alibi Jones, please?
There was no response.
Wait a second, Anita said. Admiral?
No response. Anita looked at the glowing green figure, still among them.
What are you doing? She asked it.
You are cut off for the moment, the figure explained. The dreadnought is about to shoot us. We have surrounded and sealed off your ship to deflect the blow.
Shoot us? Anita asked.
Fire!
The Admiral enjoyed spitting out the command. Kit watched as the front twin guns on the safe vessel fired on many people he cared about.
Fwash! Admiral, Kit roared. I protest! Stop this now!
The brute force of the blast of energy rocked the now ship-shaped blob back. As the destructive energies played across the surface of the blob, they boiled the covering away. The ablative qualities Kit had noted earlier. The black Rodé substance crackled and peeled off into space, revealing once more the cruiser underneath. Kit was angry. He hadn't been angry in a very long time. It was a luxury he couldn't afford after they took his lifelong love from him. Detachment worked best. Only that substance the humans just destroyed were beings he had been speaking with, mind to mind. Kit didn't know if their kind could survive what had just been done to them, the safe idiot Admiral callously blowing them away. Never mind that he was also aiming at his idiot brother and idiot friend, and the former prime representative of the man's own government. Kit had been bluffing earlier. He'd filed no report, nor complaint. But he'd prepped them. He sent them off now, tied to the current comm feed he was sending. Or maybe he hadn't been sending it, despite what he thought. Something was trying to jam his signal.
Interference, the comm said. Compensating.
Through. Now it was getting through. The dreadnought, or one of its ships, must have been blocking him. Too easy for them to do as he was sending to a repeater to get access to the subspace grid. Kit rebooted the feed to send the last 15 minutes up the pipeline.
You just shot at me, Anita Capituna said. You can hear me now, can't you, Admiral?
I just saved you, the Admiral said. I'd like to hear a thank you.
What? Anita asked, incredulous.
That blob surrounded your ship, he said. We lost a Stinger ship inside the big one. We just kept you from being that one's lunch.
That blob, as you called it, were sentient beings, Anita said. They were trying to protect us from you.
Kitra Fundler Grundler.
Kit heard a whispered voice on the comm, his brother on a secure private channel.
Yes? Can you dock and slave your ship to ours? Could use your help on board. I am angry, brother, Kit said. Does that mean yes? Kat asked. It does, Kit said. Good, Kat said.
There was nothing else.
Human, safe commander, violator, Kit said, trying to raise the admiral.
What? The admiral replied.
I am about to move this ship to dock with the cruiser, Kit said. I am informing you of this because, as a Dakur observer, I just saw you misinterpret the meaning of another race's movements, and witnessed you proceed to murder a host of those beings. My hope is that you will refrain from doing the same to my ship. May I have your assurance?
Assurance? The admiral asked.
That we won't shoot you? No, but we won't unless you do something threatening, Dakur. Is docking threatening? Kit asked.
Go ahead, the admiral said.
Though that didn't sound like an assurance, Kit decided to match positions with the cruiser and dock. The dreadnought remained close, looming over them. Kit ran a scan of the nearby system as the auto system synced up the two ships, Kit's and the cruiser, and linked them together, airlock to airlock. The dreadnought didn't have many of its support craft left around. A single cruiser and four fighters were all Kit could find with his scans. And something else.
Katie!
Kit found her. Her new ship was intact and showed up with a solid energy signature, but floated in a haphazard way, as if it wasn't under normal control. At least there were life signs. Signs? No one else should be on the ship with Katie. She was alone. His ship docked. He'd have to check on her ship again from the bridge of the cruiser.
My brother is coming, Kat said to Anita, when he saw Kit on a view screen entering the cruiser. Have him take over the controls and fly us out of any danger from the dreadnought. I'm going to the cargo bay.
Kat zipped by her before she could ask again what he was up to. Kit walked onto the bridge, not long in his brother's wake.
Do you know what he's planning? Anita asked.
Kit shook his head.
No, he said. I do not know. I do not know how he thinks. We are different.
I've noticed, Anita said. You're also very alike.
That does not make sense. Never mind, Kit said.
He sat down in the pilot's seat. Kit started to again scan the area where he'd found Katie's ship, as he began the process of slaving his ship's controls to the cruiser's. Her ship was near where he'd found it earlier, still floating in a skewed pattern, still those weird multiple life signs. He tried pinging her comm, but got no response. He tried to get the cruiser to talk to her ship's computer to correct its course. The cruiser said it was busy. The cruiser was already talking to his ship. It queued up his request to engage Katie's ship as its next task.
I'm going down there, Anita told Kit. If the admiral does something stupid, get us out of here quick. Shift into transpace and head for depot.
She left him alone on the bridge.
Kitra Fundler Grundler!
Kitra Fundler Grundler's voice called from the comm.
Yes, brother?
Would you please sync up the computer on this ship with the one on yours? Kat asked.
Our ships already appear to be communicating, Kit said.
Good, Kat said. Please, double-check it for me.
Kit double-checked.
Our computers are synced, he told his brother.
Have you found Katharina Ramsey and her ship?
Yes, Kit said. Her ship responds, but she does not.
We shall need her ship as well, Kat said.
I am trying to get the cruiser to speak to Katie's ship, Kit said.
Excellent, brother, Kat said. I want to create a model of the bioelectrical energy matrix of the ancient enemy, so I can use it as a field.
What are you doing?
Kat heard the question from two different sources nearly simultaneously. His brother asked over the comm from the bridge, Emily standing in front of him in the cargo bay, next to the floating stretcher where Alibi Jones lay.
I am going to try to use the transpace nullifier to nullify the ancient enemy matrix now possessing Alibi Jones, Kat said to both of them.
Oh,
Kit said over the comm. What did you say? Emily asked. I didn't quite follow you there.
We still have a transpace nullifier stored away here in the hold, Kat said. It nullifies the field generated by transpace engines, so a ship cannot shift into transpace. I will substitute the model of the ancient enemies matrix, necessarily simplified into a field, for the transpace field in the nullifier's programming. Then turn on the nullifier next to Alibi Jones here in the cargo hold. That should nullify the ancient enemy currently possessing him. Perhaps even dispel or destroy it.
You think that will work? Anita asked as she entered the cargo hold.
Theoretically, Kat said. The Rodei Oneness said they put Alibi Jones back into his body. Maybe this gives him the chance to take it back over.
Anita looked down at Alibi, still sealed in an EVA suit, strapped onto the floating stretcher hovering about a meter off the ground. Are you still in there? Back in there, Alibi? She asked, moving closer. Stay with us, Allie. Stay with me. She looked up from Alibi to Kat. What are you waiting for? Kat nodded at her. He bolted across the cargo hold and disappeared behind an unmarked hatch. Where did he go? Anita asked Emily. The transpace nullifier thing is kind of built in. It's mounted on a small rocket and stored in a launcher, Emily said. Behind that hatch are a few things this cruiser isn't supposed to have, you know? He might need help. Excuse me. Emily left Anita with Alibi and jogged over to the blank-looking hatch. She didn't think Kat actually needed her help, but the older woman was a little too much to take. A bit intense. Kat? She called out as she walked through the hatch. The area beyond was maze-like, utilitarian. The original interior walls were removed, new ones built around the oversized power plant and the recessed, hidden ordnance. Aft of their position, an arms battery was tucked, apparently, inside the ship on the other side of a new sealed hull.
Emily, he answered. Yes, back here.
Emily found Kat by the external wall, the original hull of the cruiser. He straightened up from an open floor hatch. The built-in transpace nullifier was already on the deck next to the hatch, much smaller in size than the one they'd planted on the outside of the Rodei ship. Seems so long ago now, Emily thought. The shipboard nullifier was only as big around as a large pizza, about half a meter high. Several thick cables from it were still attached to the launcher down inside the hatch.
I think I can handle this, Kat said.
I'm sure you can, Emily said. She walked over and looked down into the hatch at the launcher assembly and the rocket with the empty space where the nullifier had been. But Alibi's mom out there is a little intense, Emily said. Thought I'd offer my help. Mind if I watch?
Not much to see, he said.
Kat finished detaching the transpace nullifier from the rest of the assembly, closed the launcher casing, and then the hatch. He stood up, holding the small nullifier.
Back to the intensity, Kat said.
He and Emily brought the nullifier back into the cargo hold where Anita waited with Alibi. Kat set the device on the deck beneath the stretcher Alibi floated on. The transpace nullifier, Anita said. Interesting. Let's hope Kat here can make it the ancient enemy nullifier, Emily said.
You two might want to get back up to the bridge, Kat said.
Why? Anita demanded. Yeah, why? Emily asked.
Our model of the bioenergy of the ancient enemy is still just a model, Kat said. You human are different, but still, technically, offspring of theirs. This should not affect you. I am trying to make sure it does not, as that could harm Alibi Jones. But it would be best not to take the extra chance.
What about you, Kat? Anita asked.
I will be fine, Kat said. Our Dakur myths say the ancient enemy created us through their experiments, which may be true, but we are not their offspring.
Anita and Emily left Kat alone with Alibi and the nullifier in the cargo hold. Kat powered up the device without activating the nullifier itself. He then called up menus on the unit, trying to determine how to change the field to the model he was creating. Katie woke up. Somebody was talking to her? Who was on her ship? She was still in the sickbay capsule.
Why was she there again?
We injured you, a voice said. It was not our intent.
She remembered getting spiked by the shard that ripped into her ship. The rest was fuzzy. Who are you? Katie asked.
We were part of the oneness, the voice said. We are now alone, or with you.
Or with me? Katie asked. Are you in my head? She wasn't okay with that. Not in her head.
We are not inside of your head, in your skull, the voice said. This is how we communicate, however, mind to mind.
You're part of the spike that ripped into me and my ship? She asked. Part of the huge ship that exploded?
Yes, the voice confirmed. The Rodei. The oneness. We were.
Why did you explode? She asked.
We do not know, the voice said. We were the whole, fighting the hunger with Alibi Jones. And then, explosion. We are once again small, and not united with the oneness.
Katie called out to the comm. Open the capsule! The sick bay capsule cracked open. Katie sat up.
We helped save your life, the voice told her.
She looked down at her bandaged leg. Yeah, after you severely wounded me, she said. She lifted her leg and unwrapped the bandage. Underneath, a glossy black band circled her leg. Hey!
That is a small piece of us, the voice said. We worked with your sickbay capsule to help heal your leg. That band is holding in the torn tissues of your leg while they heal. It is not sentient in and of itself, but the contact is part of the reason we can speak with you, mind to mind.
You're spying on me? She was mad.
We are not spying on you, the voice said. We can only hear what you think at us. Alibi Jones taught us how to interact with you humans. How you do not want us taking you over.
Who knew he could be useful? She mumbled.
What?
Nothing, Katie said. I want to teach you something too, okay?
What is that?
The voice asked. Not to keep saying his name, she said. Alibis. It gets annoying.
Understood,
the voice said. Katie flexed her leg. It felt stiff. The muscles were still healing. How can I be sure you're not reading my mind? Katie asked. How? Why should I trust you?
We fixed you. And we have fixed your ship as well.
Again, after you tore into it.
We did not have any control over that. We were torn apart and propelled into you by the explosion. There were many shards in many ships. Some were thrown afar. Others struck the moons and asteroids of this system. We are scattered, no longer whole. In a way, we felt lucky to strike you. For us, it was fortunate. We know it was not for you. We are sorry. We did not wish to explode.
True, she said. She grew curious about their fixing. What did you do to my ship? Kitty's cargo carrier was already modified. She'd had the maneuvering engines replaced on her, trading up to a larger set for more speed and power. She'd also had the hull strategically reinforced, and the armaments on the craft upgraded from civilian to military-grade hardware. Rakar had been a gracious host, even after she told him of her plans to leave her, helping her get the cargo carrier retrofitted at the diplomatic family's shipyards. She was still waiting for the bill she insisted he send her. Not that she could pay it. Yet. But she would.
Your ship was not equipped with self-repairing systems, the voice said.
Katie thought she heard... disgust? No, Katie said. We kind of don't have those. Not that it wouldn't be nice.
We developed them long ago. Self-defense required the knowledge. An organism needs to be able to repair itself, as your flesh vessel does.
What, the flesh vessel? Katie had to ask.
Your body, the voice said. Sorry, we forgot. The term flesh vessel did not sit well without... Sorry, again. That other human, either.
Only to a point, she said. Our bodies sometimes need help getting fixed. She looked down at her leg. As you know.
As with your leg, we are currently using our own substance to mimic the missing or torn parts of your ship, those we could not repair. This is not a long-term fix for your ship, but it should allow you to fly back to a port and get true repairs.
Really? She said. Good. Katie swung her legs around and off the cushion in the sickbay capsule. She tried standing up. Her leg was tender, stiff, but held. She began walking up to the bridge. So, where is he now? Still alive? She asked.
Who? The one whose name you do not wish us to say?
Yeah, him.
We do not know. He is on the other ship. But he is not himself, they said.
You talked to them? She asked. The people on the cruiser?
No, we listened, the voice said. It was you they wanted to talk to.
Katie slid into her pilot's seat with an involuntary gasp and grimace from the twisting it gave her injured thigh. She set the comm for open frequencies. You looking for me? She called.
Am I dead?
Close.
I am.
You're my father, aren't you? You're BC.
In a way, yeah.
Is this it? You're here to welcome me to heaven?
Now? No, not yet. I'm here to say it's not your time to end. Heaven? Who the fuck knows?
I'm smothering.
No, you aren't. You were smothered. Now? You need to remember how to breathe.
That was Chapter 35 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Well, Cat thinks he might be able to modify the Transpace Nullifier and force the ancient enemy out of Alibi Jones. Gonna have to join us next time to find out if Cat can pull this off. We're getting right down to it, too. Only two more chapters left to go. 36 and 37. Two more episodes to finish up Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. A is for April and Alibi Jones if you want to take advantage of some of the specials that are going on Alibi Jones stuff. Just head to glowinthedarkradio.com or mikeluoma.com and click on the banner on the top. That'll take you to a page I have set up that has all the Alibi Jones specials listed there. And I want to thank everybody who has supported me on Patreon so far, and encourage you, if you haven't, to please head over there and help support the podcast. That's patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio. That's all I got for you this week. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.